Welcome to Basic Gospel. We are here daily at this time to bring the basic gospel into your life. It's relevant, personal, and essential. Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis. Our purpose each day is to provide scriptural answers to your personal issues and Bible questions. This is where the basic gospel intersects with your daily life. Hear it, believe it, live it. So now it's time for you to call 1-800-677-9377. That's a toll-free call in the U.S. and in Canada. 1-800-677-9377. Call now. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, we do invite you to call right now. We would love to get to as many callers today as we possibly can on this edition of Basic Gospel. 1-800-677-9377 is the number. My name is Bob Christopher. Richard Piper is here with me today. We are talking about how this gospel message, the fact that Jesus Christ is alive, really intersects with your day-to-day life. So often we get ourselves into pickles and we don't know how to get out. And we're stuck. We're just stuck at a crossroads. And then the Word of God comes and meets us at that intersection, at that point of need, and provides a way forward. And I think that's one of the greatest elements or aspects about this good news, that Jesus Christ is alive, is that He can speak into our situation, no matter how large or small, and give us the right direction to take. And that's why we're here, to help you understand, hear that gospel message, and learn how to apply it in daily life. So call us, 1-800-677-9377. Want to remind our listeners of our offer this month, a free gift to you, the Basic Gospel Journey. We want all of our new listeners in New York City, Washington, D.C., and Louisville, Kentucky, to take advantage of this offer. It is a wonderful CD message. You and I and Bob Davis spent some time together talking about the gospel of Jesus Christ and how it's to be lived out. You know, so often we simply think of the gospel message in terms of salvation, that we're saved, that grants us entry into heaven when we die. But there's this big gap, and this gospel message doesn't necessarily apply. Yeah. That's what our thinking is. But the Word of God speaks to an opposite effect of that. It says the gospel message is relevant the day you're saved. It's relevant the next day, the next day, the next day, all the way up to the point until you are absent with the body and present with the Lord. And then you see it's entire relevance when you stand before Jesus Christ Himself. So this gospel message is to be lived out in everyday life, and it's an amazing journey when we can do that. So on this particular CD, we talk about how it's lived out. We want you to have it. We want to put that in your hands. It's a free gift. Just go to our website, basicgospel.net, basicgospel.net. Click the free gift link and just fill out all the information, and we will get that to you as quickly as we can. Or you can call Billy at 1-800-727-2828. That's 1-800-727-2828. And we would love to get that to you as quickly as we can. Again, it's the Basic Gospel Journey. Richard, I was thinking, you know, a lot of times we get questions about sin. What do we do with sin? How do we handle sin? How do we overcome sin? And, you know, I was thinking today, and you and I had a brief conversation about this, you know, how do we define sin? Is our definition law-based or grace-based?
Yes.
And I think when we come to grips with a definition that is grace-based, we can finally see what we've been saved from and really rejoice in what the grace of God has done in our lives. You know, if it's law-based, I think we see sin from a very shallow point of view. It's just a violation of the law. You know, 55 miles an hour, I've gone 65, so I've transgressed that law, and we would call that sin. But grace enables us to see the consequences of sin, not only spiritual death, but the consequences that it brings in the lives of others. And we realize that sin is the exact opposite of love. Love does no harm to its neighbor. Sin does all sorts of harm. And when we see that through the eyes of grace, it gives us a deep appreciation for the grace of God. So maybe you want to talk about that, talk about how you are dealing with sin in your life, how you're trying to overcome. The Word of God has some amazing help to put you on a journey where you can experience victory. Again, the number 1-800-677-9377. Well, let's go to Brooklyn, New York, and talk to Kathleen, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Kathleen.
Hi, how are you?
Doing wonderful. How can we help you today?
Well, I have a question. I have a friend of mine who's in the Peace Corps. Now, he's recently saved about a year. And when he went over there, they said to introduce yourself. He did that. He acknowledged to them that he was a Christian. I spoke with him, and it seems like, I don't know what it is that he's thinking, but he said to me, why is God just not known as God? Why do we have to define him as, you know, God, because I'm a Christian or I'm a Muslim or a Buddhist or whatever. So it seems like he doesn't understand that part of it. Yet he does love God and he knows, you know, about the Lord. But it's, I don't know what he's thinking. And I don't have an answer for him.
Well,
Kathleen,
yeah, Kathleen, maybe, you know, he's been engaged in conversations with other people, especially if he's in the military. And there he's hearing maybe from other people that, hey, we all worship the same God. And he's thinking, well, is that right or wrong? So maybe that's what is compelling him to ask that question of you. And I think that's a question that we all have to ask. Are we all worshiping the same God? Are Muslims and Christians and Buddhists and, you know, all this hodgepodge of religious thinking out there, are we all ultimately worshiping the same God? And I think the answer to that is no, because everybody has a different opinion of what God is like. We all have books that would explain to us what God is like, but there's only one in which God became one of us. God put on flesh and blood so that we could see what he was really like. And he became flesh and blood in the person of Christ Jesus. And Christ Jesus made the claim that he was God in the flesh. So if he's making that claim that he's God in the flesh, and a Muslim or a Buddhist or somebody else is saying something different about this Jesus, then we're saying different things about God. Jesus Christ came to make God the Father known to all of us. So if somebody doesn't believe that Jesus is God, then they're going to disagree with what the Bible has to say about God, and they're going to come up with another God. So we're not all worshiping the same God. So I think, Kathleen, as far as your conversation with your friend is concerned, I think you would bring him back to the person and work of Jesus Christ. Okay. Jesus Christ was declared to be the Savior of the world, and he saves us through his death, burial, and resurrection. Buddha doesn't claim to be the Savior. Muhammad doesn't claim to be a Savior. No one else claims to be a Savior. Only Jesus claims to be a Savior, and he saves us specifically through his death, burial, and resurrection. So talk to your friend about Jesus.
Yes, I told him that, you know, I told him, go back to your first love. You know, he had a revelation when he was saved, and he was so on fire, and it's as if the joy of the Lord, the Bible says the joy of the Lord is our strength. And it seems like he's lost that joy, and I think that's his strength. And I think that's where the enemy is playing havoc with his mind, and, you know, he's not able to focus. And so God says, tell him to go back to his first love, to me. And so that's why I call, because I told him, listen, I don't have all the answers, but I always told you that if I don't have it, I will try and get it for you.
Well, Kathleen, you're a good friend. Let me do this for you. Let me put you on hold, and I will send you this CD that we are offering this month, the Basic Gospel Journey.
Yes.
And I think that will help bring him back to the very basics of the gospel, who Jesus is and what he has accomplished for him. I know it's something, as people have listened, people have responded, they say that it's a message that helps restore the joy of their salvation. So let's pray that it'll do the same for your friend.
This is what he needs. It's the key, I think, to this whole thing.
Yeah.
He needs to go back. And that's what God told him. Tell him to come back to me. You know, I'm his joy.
Well, that's exactly what Jesus said to all who are weary and burdened and tired. Jesus says, "Come unto me." That's always the invitation. It's not. Yes. It's not follow these rules. It's not follow these principles. Jesus's invitation is always an invitation to himself. And so
yes,
I think
and
that's
one more
where,
thing, because I know you have other calls. He was saying, "Well, maybe I should speak to the theologians." Am I saying it right? He says,
"Yes."
Because he's very intelligent. He's a very intelligent young man. And he likes to go deep, and he likes to talk with you. And, you know, and he wants answers. So he says, maybe I should speak to them. I don't know if that's a good thing. Maybe everybody has their opinion. But maybe there is someone who is a theologian or someone who knows more about the Bible that he could go one-on-one with them and maybe discuss his questions.
Well, absolutely. I would hope that he would seek someone like that out. And if we can be of help in that regard, please direct them this way. But let me put you on hold, and we'll send you a copy of that CD, The Basic Gospel Journey. You pass it along to him, and then let us know how that turns out, okay?
I will. I'm very grateful. And one final question, shall I? You know, he has internet in Costa Rica, which is where he is. Can he call you from there? Does he text you? Like, let's see if he has a question.
He can call. He can text us. He can email us. There's lots of opportunities. And so our operator will give you all of that information, okay?
Thank you so much.
Right.
I appreciate you. God bless you. Thank you.
Hey, thanks, Kathleen. You hold the line. Oh, great call right there.
It is. Yes.
Let's go to Maria in New Brunswick, New Jersey, listening to us on WMCA. And by the way, we do have some open lines, 1-800-677-9377, 1-800-677-9377. We would love to hear from you, talk about this gospel message and how it applies to daily living. So go ahead and call right now, 1-800-677-9377. Maria, you're on the air.
Hi, I'm from North Brunswick. But I have a question. I know that Jesus is God in the flesh, but if he is God, when he said he went to pray and he prayed to God on several occasions, why would that be necessary if he is God?
Well, he's both God and both human, Maria, and that is mm-hmm. the great mystery of Jesus Christ. He was both fully mm-hmm. God, fully human. And so when he took upon himself flesh and blood, he put aside his prerogatives as God and chose to live in dependence upon his Father. And he did that for several reasons, but one of the best reasons he did that was so that we would learn what it looks like to walk by faith. So just as he walked in dependence upon his Father, we are to walk in dependence upon him. So he modeled the life of faith for us, which was counter to everything he was and is as God. He was an independent person, and yet he put that independence aside so that he could walk independence upon his Father. And so when he's praying, he is modeling that dependent relationship. But it's also interesting when you look kind of underneath our English language at the word prayer that's being used there. It's a different word than what is used to describe our act of praying. Our act of praying is reaching out to someone that we know is superior to us and putting ourselves under his authority in our lives. The word for prayer that is used when it describes Jesus praying to his Father is a word that shows that the two are equal. And so even in the Greek language, it's telling us that...
Is it a different Hebrew word?
What's that?
It's a different word in the text?
It's a different word. And the word that describes Jesus' praying to his Father tells us or conveys the fact that they are equals, that Jesus isn't below mm-hmm. and the Father is above, that they are equals. And so they were together on the same page as regards to the plan to save mankind. And they were simply talking about that.
So when Christ performed miracles, he was in his divinity.
Well, and when Christ...
always God, and he was 100% God and 100% human, which is a paradox, and it's kind of a difficult concept for me to understand. But so when he's performing miracles, then he's subjugating his human side, or is he like, I'm a little confused on that level. So if I go the opposite, when he's acting and doing things God-like, is he then putting under his human nature?
Well, here's what he had to say. For I did not speak of my own accord, but the Father who sent me commanded me what to say and how to say it. The words I say to you are not just my own, rather it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees his Father doing. So all of these are passages that talk about his dependent relationship upon his Father. So he was living as a human being, and we are to live in that same relationship to him as he did with his Father. It's the vine and branch illustration. Jesus Christ is the vine, we're the branch. He's the source of life. Well, when he was a human, he trusted God the Father to be that source in and through him. And so we get to see what this life of faith really looks like and how it's to be lived out in day-to-day living.
Okay.
Okay, Maria.
So, yes, I mean, I still have further questions, but I don't want to take your time with that.
Well, let me do this, Maria.
Go ahead.
I'll put you on hold and send you that CD. Do you have one more question or one more little point to make?
Just one little point. So when God emptied himself into human form, was it totally encapsulated in the form of Jesus, or was, because if he can, you know, working independent, like I'm confused, like was he totally now in the form of Jesus, or was he, you know, as a separate entity? Like I'm confused. Was he partially in Jesus or all in Jesus? And like I'm kind of confused with the whole concept of how he, I know he encapsulated himself in flesh, but then we're saying that he was,
well, there's,
you know,
you have to realize the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So God is a triune God. Those are separate entities that all make up the Godhead. And when Jesus left his earthly throne and took upon himself flesh and blood, as it says, God was pleased to have all of his fullness dwell in Jesus Christ. That's Colossians 1:19. Now, are we going to fully comprehend all of this? Absolutely not. We can simply declare what the Word of God has to say, and that's what it has to say. So, when the Godhead filled Jesus Christ of all its fullness, that didn't eliminate God the Father. God the Father was still on the throne in the heavenlies. Jesus Christ was here, and his Spirit was doing his work as only the Spirit can do. So, Maria, thanks for your call. Let me put you
on hold.
We'll send you this Basic Gospel Journey, okay? Thanks for
your call today.
Well, this is Basic Gospel. My name is Bob Christopher. Richard Pfeiffer is here. Let's go to Angelo in Brooklyn, New York. Hi, Angelo.
Hi, Bob. How are you?
Doing fine, thanks. Nice to hear from you.
Good, good. I am very happy that I know the grace of God. I've been through that experience of the law and the grace. My question is, do we ever stop praying for what we believe? Because you get to the point as a Christian, you keep praying for something, and you get to that point, you're just saying words now, and it's like that hope slips away. But, you know, is there a point to just believing? Is there a point that that's your answer? You know, and that could fall into a lot of categories. And you just say to yourself, all right, maybe it's the point where I just don't ask for it no more.
That's a great question. And, you know, prayer is something that we all want to engage in. And I think it's one of those subject matters that we're not quite sure exactly what prayer is, how we're supposed to pray. You know, do we pray for something one time or do we pray for something multiple times? You know, and it's strange, Angelo, when you look at the Word of God, there's really no formula for prayer. It never tells us, well, you just pray for something one time and then you leave it in God's hands to answer at in His timing. You never read in the Bible that, no, you're supposed to pray for something 10 times. You know, Paul prayed that the thorn in his flesh would be removed on 3 different occasions. And I guess after the third, he realized that that thorn in the flesh was going to stay there, and he learned to be content with it. You know, there's other times where, you know, I've just prayed for things one time, and I felt like that was sufficient, and I've just left it there. There's other times where I've prayed for stuff, you know, 50, 60, 100 times. You know, just because it was in my heart and mind, and I felt privileged enough to be able to bring that to God. Richard, what is some of your experience as far as prayer is concerned?
Well, the first thing I had to learn when I actually finally understood grace was that prayer is not something I do in order to get God's attention. You know, please, Lord, I'm over here. It's that ongoing conversation. Every day, every thought, every word, everything I do is a communication with God. And sometimes I'm impressed to pray for specific things. Sometimes I'm not. I leave it up to God, and I leave it up to Him to tell me how often. If it's still on my heart, if it's something that the Spirit is impressing on me to pray for, I pray for it. If not, I drop it, and it may come up again, or it may be a done deal. It's just this ongoing communication. And think of it, if the best marriage you've ever known, whether it's yours or your parents or some friends, where the husband and wife can almost complete each other's sentences. They know what they're thinking, but just looking at each other. That's a small picture of what it is for us with the Holy Spirit indwelling us, that He is constantly communicating the things of God to us, and constantly communicating what we're thinking back to God. And so go where the Spirit leads you on this. You know, if you've been praying for something for a long time and you no longer have the desire to do so, don't feel bad. Just drop it and see if God picks it up later on and says, no, I need you to pray for this again. It could be you've already gotten an answer, or, you know, some things you're going to learn sometime down the road that the answer was given, or the situation doesn't exist anymore. So just walk by faith. Just continue to talk to God and communicate what's going on in your life.
So, let's say I think I have the answer, and I step out in faith to do something, and it's not the answer. How do I approach that now for myself and say, oh, here I thought it was God, and it ain't God? Like, well, I don't want to look at my mistake, because then I can't move on.
Well, I think at that point, Angelo, you just have to rest in the promise of God that He has said to you, and He said to every one of His children, that I'm going to cause all things to work together for good. So maybe you look at it as a mistake. I don't think God ever looks at it as a mistake. He is able to redirect and get you back on the path that He wants to get you on. I look at the Holy Spirit oftentimes in our lives like a GPS unit. You know, we have a destination, and sometimes we make wrong turns. And when we do, we hear that voice that says, recalibrating. The voice doesn't beat us up. It doesn't judge us. It doesn't do anything. It simply says, recalibrating. Why? Because that voice, that machine, knows how to get us to the destination. Jesus Christ does as well, and His Spirit does the work to make that happen. So trust Him that He's going to cause all things to work together for your good, Angela.
That's a great confidence just to have within your spirit, I guess.
Absolutely. Yes. Well, Angelo, let me put you on hold. We'll send you this basic gospel journey. We sure appreciate your call today. You hold the line. Well, Richard, we do come to the close of today's broadcast. Yes. We certainly thank Kathleen, Maria, and Angelo for joining us on today's broadcast. I want to remind our listeners of our free gift offer, the Basic Gospel Journey, available just by asking. Go to our website, basicgospel.net, or call Billy at 1-800-727-2828. 1-800-727-2828. We'll see you again the same time tomorrow.